Welcome to the Vandal Insider Podcast, presented by Inland Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine Clinic of Moscow and Pullman. Let the team that takes care of the Vandals take care of you. Get the latest information on University of Idaho athletics you won't find anywhere else. It's all here on the Vandal Insider Podcast, every fan source for all things Idaho athletics. Here's your host, Dennis Patchen.
Welcome to another edition of the Idaho Vandal Insider Podcast. On this edition, we'll look ahead to the future of the Idaho Vandal football team as we talk with head coach Thomas Ford Jr. about the class of 2026. We'll talk to Coach Ford about each of the 20 players the Vandals signed in the early signing period. It's also an historic class for the University of Idaho, the class being ranked best in the Big Sky Conference, second highest ranked in all of FCS football, and the highest ranked class in the program history per the recruiting site 24/7. For head coach Thomas Ford, as you might expect, he's fired up about this group.
When you look at the 2026 class, this is the first class that we really recruited from start to finish. You know, in the 25 class, there was some guys that were already signed when I took over. You know, then we found some guys late for the second signing period. But, you know, this class is guys that we built really good relationships with. You know, some of these guys I've known since they were freshmen in high school, just the recruiting, especially in the Northwest, and seeing these guys over time. But this class means a lot because, again, it marks our true first full recruiting class, guys that we feel like we've got to build relationships with over, you know, a year or more. And so I think a lot of that can contribute to success in terms of the hit rate, right? Guys that you feel like you know, feel like you know exactly what you're getting when they show up on campus. And so it's a big, big class for us. Obviously, we're very proud of it being the top class in the Big Sky. Really, top class in FCS when you really think about the school that's in front of us trying to get out of FCS. But very excited about this class, and it's definitely one that I think can be a true building block of the program.
We'll hear more from Coach Ford coming up in a second. Also on this week's podcast, Tom Morris will retire after 40 years with the Idaho Vandals and the broadcasting of games coming up the first week of 2026. I got a chance to sit down with my longtime friend and share some memories with him, and memories you have of Tom calling some great games and some great moments, and what it was like to work side-by-side with Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Curtis. The Idaho Vandal Insider Podcast is presented by Inland Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine Clinic of Moscow and Pullman. As the Vandals team physician, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Matt Taylor cares for elite athletes, weekend warriors, and everyone in between. Let the team that takes care of the Vandals take care of you.
Welcome back to the Idaho Vandal Insider Podcast. It's always special when a new group of college, high school players and become Vandals, and that is the case with football. As Thomas Ford Jr., the head coach of the Vandals, joining us, signing a class. Before we get into the class and all the numbers and the specific guys, just the feeling when it's done for the staff. I mean, yeah. I know that tomorrow you'll think about the next class, but I mean, you know, we're recording this interview on National Letter of Intent Day. Just the feeling that it's finished.
Yeah, you know, we recruit these guys for so long, some of these guys for over a year. And so when if they commit to you, you feel really good about it. You feel like, okay, great, we're filling up this class, but it really isn't final until signing day. And so when you start getting all of the letters of intent or financial aid agreements back, and you know these guys are really locked in, they're actually signed on the dotted line, it's a huge relief. And thankfully for us, we really didn't have any defectors. We didn't have any guys that we expected to sign that didn't, and we're really excited about this class.
Let's talk about the overall class itself as a group. Was there an area of need, or are you one of those guys that likes to just get everybody, and if we need one or two extra, we do it that way?
I think for us, it's always that way in high school recruiting, trying to get, you know, kind of a little bit of everything to try to make sure that you can continue to develop guys in the program. I think specifically with this class, we went a little O-line heavy. You know, we had only one senior this past year, but we're going to have a host of them after 2026. So we really want to continue to build that room and get some really talented players in the room to push for playing time early.
It's a class that you sign before the transfer portal opens, so you don't know who's leaving your team. Well, you might have an idea, but I mean, you just don't know that situation. So how do you put a class together, or is this a class that we probably don't think anybody's going to play this year, or maybe one or two guys. This is more for 27, 28, 29.
Well, I think you, when you recruit, especially high-level guys that we're recruiting, that you expect everyone to have a chance, right? Guys that are talented enough to come in and compete for playing time. You know, obviously, their development is going to be different for each individual, but certainly I think there's a couple guys in this class that could help us right away, and everyone else in this class will certainly help us throughout their years as a Vandal.
It's one of those things to me is you put together a class that is the top class in the Big Sky Conference. It's the best recruiting class, according to what I've been told, by the University of Idaho ever. Why were you able to get so many quality guys? And we're going to talk about these guys, but why were you able to get so many guys?
Honestly, relationships. I think that's the most underrated part of high school recruiting. A lot of times in our business, you know, for example, a Power Four school may offer a kid and think they're just going to get them because they only have FCS offers. Where for us, we really don't care if they have FCS offers, zero offers, FBS offers. We're going to build a relationship with the kid. We're going to show them the reasons that we can develop them individually. And once we get them on campus and they see this place and they see that they definitely have, you know, all the necessary resources to be successful at the Division I level, those relationships actually do matter.
You mentioned the offensive line. Talk to me about the four guys you signed, because you did go, as you said, a little heavy offensive line, the four guys you signed to the O-line.
Yeah, you know, with offensive linemen, I've been, you know, this will be my 20th year coaching football, and I've never heard a football coach say, I got way too many good offensive linemen. There's too many of these guys, right? But the guys in this group are special. Kind of starting with Kingston Kirkhoff. He's a guy that, again, relationships really matter. You know, I've known Kingston since he was a sophomore. He was in my brother's program at FSP. You know, I've watched him practice and play and really develop over these last 3 years. He kind of started out as a guy that was new to football, had all the raw ability as far as length, size, speed, all those things, but just didn't understand football quite yet. And watching his development over the last 3 years has been incredible. You know, he had Power Four offers, but, you know, at the end of the day, he wanted to go to a place where he felt like he had a relationship with the position coach, a relationship with the head coach, and a place where he could really develop and have a chance to play. And I think he's definitely going to have those opportunities here. Next guy is probably Omar Caba from Arizona, Williams Field High School. We saw Omar in the spring. I don't have as long-standing relationship like I did with Kingston, but it was almost an instant connection when we met him. You know, at these showcases in Arizona, there's it's like the AFCA coaching convention with how many coaches there are there. And, you know, there was a ton of coaches talking with Omar, but Omar kept gravitating towards us. And so we really hit it off from there. And once we got him on campus and he kind of saw what we have in terms of facilities, in terms of development, it was another no-brainer. But those two guys are incredibly athletic. Those guys are going to be guys that can play tackle for us, really, you know, true edge guys with their length and their athletic ability. And then, you know, the next two guys, you know, we got to go with Jace Winchester. You know, Jace is a guy that was committed to Colorado State in June. You know, he was committed to those guys for, you know, almost 4 months and actually came on a visit this fall. Had a great visit with them in the summer, but he ended up choosing Colorado State, but he came back in the fall. You know, they had some turmoil there with the turnover. And Jace really wanted to be in a place where he felt very comfortable with the position coach. He felt like the position coach could get him to where he wants to be. You know, Jace is going to be a center for us. But he's another guy that, I mean, a mauler. I mean, absolute mauler, physical as all get out, will be a center for us. And those guys, we want intelligence, and he's got plenty of that. Super smart kid. I think he's like close to a 4.0 GPA. But big barrel-chested guy with long arms, and I think is going to be a really good center. And obviously we've got a great one now, but he's going to be a senior, right? And so we kind of looking at Jace as potentially being that next center in the making. And then last but certainly not least is Carter Paul. Carter's another guy I had a long-standing relationship with. Met Carter when he was a sophomore when I was actually at Oregon State. Great story about Carter is I told Carter, hey, man, I think you need to lose a little bit of weight. You got to really work on your hip bend. You got to really work on your flexibility. And then you fast forward to summer. From then, and he does all those things. And so he's a guy that really works hard. I mean, he's all of 6'7". He's, you know, close to 300 pounds and moves really well. So just like Jace, he's another mauler, a guy that's going to really get off the ball and move people in the run game. And we'll continue to work on him in pass protection game as well. But those four guys, I think, are very good players, all three-star guys, rated by 247, and guys that we're super excited about.
You also, everybody also wants to know what quarterbacks you got. You actually got two quarterbacks. Yep. You want to talk about the two young men you signed there?
Yeah, so, you know, kind of starting with Blitz McCarty. you know, blitzes from Colorado. Southpaw, he'll be our only left-handed quarterback in the room going into 2026. But he's got some intangible things that you just can't teach. He's got a great feel for the game, good pocket awareness. He can make all the throws. He's got a really strong arm. And then he's athletic enough to extend plays, and he's tough. That's the thing I like the most about Blitz. You know, his high school team didn't have a great season this year. But he's the guy leading the charge. You know, he's taking shots and delivering down the middle of the field. And I think he's got that moxie that you're looking for in a quarterback. And then Britton DeWitt is actually going to be a 2028 guy. So he's 26, but he's LDS and is going to be going on his mission. So it's very nice when you find a guy that you love and you don't have to get him until 2028, because now you don't have to look for a 2028 quarterback.
Right.
Right. We kind of already have him locked in. And we saw him down in Arizona at the showcases, and he actually came to our camp in the summer as well. And guy's got great arm talent, incredibly intelligent, athletic, physical as a runner when he tucks it and runs. And he's a guy that we'll be super excited about when he arrives on campus in 28.
Two wide receivers on your list, both of them from the Pacific Northwest. Dom Woltas from Bishop Kelly High School. He's an Eagle, Idaho guy. And then the other receiver is Tristan Baker out of Lakes High School, which is a really good high school football program on the west side of the state of Washington. Tell us about those two wide receivers.
Yeah, you know, kind of starting with Dom, obviously, Idaho guy. You know, we love trying to keep these in-state guys here. You know, Dom's coming off of a 1,000-yard season and a state title. You know, he's a guy that we really liked and kind of based off his junior film, but we actually offered him after he came to camp. He came to our camp and was absolutely killing it. He was our wide receiver MVP. You know, he's a guy that's got really good speed, good quickness. What I love the most about Dom is he's got some confidence. He plays with a lot of swagger. He feels like there's not a corner in America that can cover him. And so we're really excited about him. And then, you know, Tristan Baker, we talked about relationships. You know, I've known Tristan since he was a freshman. You know, Dave Miller, the head coach at Lakes, is a good friend of mine. You know, I go to his school every chance I get on the road, and he's always got great players. But, you know, with Tristan, he's not only a great player, he's just a great human being. You know, he's a guy that had, you know, multiple opportunities from other Division I schools, but he really trusted our process and valued the relationship he had with me as the head coach. You know, Coach Pow Pow did a phenomenal job building that same relationship. And I think both guys are playmakers, but I see Tristan being a guy possibly being a little bit more physically ready to play and a guy that could, you know, possibly, you know, crack that kind of top eight in our receiving room, you know, as early as a freshman. So he's a great player, and I got a chance to watch him play live this season. And all he did was score an 80-yard touchdown on a post and then scooped and scored a 70-yard touchdown on a blocked field goal. So he did a great job when the head coach was in the house.
That's a good time to play well was when the head coach is with
you. Absolutely.
You've got another guy that's going to catch the football, but he's also going to block J.J. Holmth from Minnesota. You went and got a guy, and he's a junior college guy,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. So J.J. is a matchup nightmare. He's 6'6". He's 230 pounds. He's a guy that's a true vertical threat in the middle of the field. Something that we lacked a little bit this year. You know, I think he brings that to the table, that playmaking ability, be able to high point the ball. You know, they lined him up at receiver and isolated him on safeties and threw fade balls to him at Rochester. And so we're really excited about J.J. J.J.'s another guy that relationships matter to him. You know, J.J. had offers from Miami. He had a late offer from Syracuse. They flew him out the last weekend they could. And, you know, we were kind of down to the wire. And he called me last night and said, "Coach, I'm still coming. I'm still a Vandal." And because he, again, went back to the relationship piece. He said, "I felt like there it was more business. I didn't really have a relationship with the head coach. I just talked to him." And that mattered to him, you know. And, you know, he's a guy that I know is going to have an immediate impact.
Let's start on the defensive line. On the defensive side of the football, you signed two defensive linemen, one an inside guy, one an edge rusher. Tell us about those two young men.
Yeah, we'll start with Ocean Taufa. Ocean is from Bishop Gorman, the Nevada State champions. They actually came to our team camp this summer, and that's where we first saw Ocean. And thank goodness they came to our camp. We may not have seen him, right? He wasn't at other camps that we were at this summer. He was more focused on, you know, getting ready for his senior season. But Ocean's explosive. He's a guy that right now is about 240-ish, but we believe that he can be easily 270, you know, in the next couple of years and be a true pass-rushing interior lineman. Obviously can do it in the run game, was extremely aggressive, extremely disruptive in his season this year as they won the state title. But what I'm most excited about with Ocean is his pass rush ability. And then Nui Myers from Kahuku High School in Hawaii. I want to continue to keep that pipeline going. I think he needs a home visit from me in January. but Nui's another guy that we saw at multiple camps and was just dang near undefeated in one-on-one pass rush. With the D-lineman this year, that was high school D-lineman, I should say, we were really looking for pass rushers, guys that could get after the passer, something that we struggled a little bit with this with in 2025. And Nui brings that. You know, he's a guy that's going to continue to gain bulk, right? He's probably not going to be ready right away as a true freshman. He's got to gain a little bit of weight. But you never know. Maybe he's a pass rush specialist because that's something that I know he excels at.
You also signed four linebackers, and obviously linebackers and defensive backs important because not only playing on defense but also special teams.
Yes.
You need plenty of those guys. Tell
yes.
us about the four linebackers you got.
Yeah,
got
to start with the hometown guy, right? Home state guy, Nash O'Kelly. You know, his family's full of Vandals, right? His dad, Zach, has been a very big supporter of our program since I stepped on campus and before, obviously. But Nash is a guy, played for a state title, didn't quite get there, but they had a historic season at Timberline this year, and Nash was a huge part of it. Little known fact, but Nash was also a terror as a tight end. They didn't use him every down, but they used it when they needed to throw to him. And I think he scored like seven or eight touchdowns.
Seven touchdowns. Yeah. And the other thing is you talked about Vandal. He's a fourth-generation Vandal.
Fourth-generation Vandal. And, you know, Nash brings a lot to the table. He's a long, athletic, and very fast linebacker. That's really what Coach Dennison wants to continue to do is continue to build speed in that room. And he really has that. He's another guy that came to our camp, and we offered him as soon as we saw him play in person because that length, physicality, and speed was just undeniable. And we're really excited about Nash. And, you know, there's three other guys to be excited about as well. You know, Landon Schramm is probably the next guy I'd love to talk about. Landon from Army-Navy Academy down there in the San Diego area. He was kind of an all-everything guy. Played receiver, safety. They rolled him down and played a little bit outside linebacker. We really look at Landon as in the same mold as Isaiah King, you know, a long, physical, fast Sam-type linebacker. Don't see him as like a true box backer because of his just athleticism and ability to rush the passer. And so we really believe Landon could be a guy that could help us pretty early, especially on special teams because his speed and physicality is unmatched. And he's going to be a guy that's just going to continue to get better and probably a guy that – gonna have to hold on to, you know, when he starts playing, because I know those bigger schools will probably get after that type of guy he is.
Yeah, you've got Giovanni Banks, a linebacker out of Portland, and
Tao.
and Tao Marico, is that how you say that?
Marico.
I've just got this list. I haven't
okay.
got a pronunciation.
Let's
talk about those two young men.
Yeah,
too.
Well, you know, starting with Giovanni. Giovanni's a guy that we actually discovered kind of late in the process. Guys like him we normally find in January and recruit the heck out of because he was exactly what we're looking for. But for whatever reason, the high school coach and Coach Fendel, did their paths just didn't match up early. And then I saw his film probably in, I think, May. And the second I saw his film, I called him and we offered him. We tried to get him on campus as soon as humanly possible. But he's got unbelievable athletic ability. He's got length, he's got range, he's got speed. I think he ran for over 1,000 yards as a running back this season. He was all conference in both positions. But Giovanni's one of those guys that has untapped potential. I think once he gets into our strength conditioning program, you know, gets the nutrition program, sky's the limit because athletically he might be one of the best guys that I've seen at the high school level in this year's class. And then last but certainly not least is Tao. Another guy kind of like Tristan Baker, I've known Tao since he was a freshman. You know, Tao had a ton of Power 4 offers after his sophomore year, had an injury his junior year that kept him out. And a lot of those schools didn't recruit him. They stopped recruiting him as hard. And with Tao, as soon as I got the job here, he was one of the first guys I called in that 2026 class. And I wanted to make sure he understood that, hey, I don't care who's still recruiting you or who's not recruiting you. We're recruiting you. And again, him and Tristan are really close. And they both valued relationships more than logos. And so, you know, I think he's going to be a guy that comes in, physicals all get out. One of the smartest guys we watched. I went and watched him the same time I went and watched Tristan, obviously. And he was, I'm pretty sure he was calling the defense because he was telling everyone what to do. So his intelligence, his physicality, and his like nose for the football is going to be really what we're looking for as a true Mike in our defense.
The other is there's three defensive backs, two corners, and a safety. Can you talk about those three young men?
Absolutely. Start with the Inland Empire guy. Start with Jerry Allen. Jerry, Rogers High School up in Spokane. Jerry is the guy that when he exists in Spokane, I need to get every single time. He's 6'2", he's 190 pounds. Honestly, looks like he could play a linebacker. I mean, that's how impressive he looks in person. Got a chance to watch him play over in Pullman this season, and you know, the things that really stick out are his length, his explosiveness, and his ball skills. Those are three things that were unmatched. You know, he played wide receiver for them, played run, a little bit of run. They handed the ball. I mean, he did a little bit of everything. I think he was the player of the year in their conference this year. But Jerry's special. His length, his twitch, those are all things that I know Coach TD are really looking for in the room, and he fits that mold. And then, you know, Jermell Green, right, very similar. You know, Jermell a little taller, right? He's 6'4". Jermell not quite as heavy as Jerry. He's got to gain a little bit of weight physically, but a lockdown corner, a guy that can really shut down half of the field. You know, he's doing it at a high level, playing against teams like Folsom and Grant down there in the Sacramento area, and he's holding up against plenty of guys that have Power 4 opportunities, right? And maybe it's a lot of those guys signed today with Power 4 schools, but, you know, when they played Jermell Green, they were just another guy. And so Jermell's going to come in, and he's going to have a lot of confidence, and that length you just can't teach. And so very excited about those two corners because they're exactly what we want in our corner room. And then Luca Moore, you know, Anacortes, Washington, we kind of have that connection now. We got Hayden John from there. We get the kind of the next best safety coming up out of that program with Luca Moore. You know, Luca, another guy, had plenty of other opportunities, but really chose the Vandals because of the relationship piece, right? He trains with my brother at FSP. You know, he's been to our campus three or four times since his junior season. Obviously, he's got the ties with Hayden. They're super close. And so it was kind of a situation for us where it's like, why wouldn't you come here, Luca? But Luca's phenomenal, right? One of the smartest and most instinctual players we watched on film, especially at safety. Unbelievable ball skills. Another guy that played receiver. I think he had like 800 yards receiving or something this year. I think he was their top receiver in a team that threw the ball quite a bit. So, you know, his athleticism, ball skills, and then just knack for football is going to be critical. And another guy that I think is going to be able to help us.
Okay, now the class is signed. You've got the latest group of Vandals in. Now what's next for you? I know that you're going through exit meetings into next week, but what's next in the next before spring football starts?
Yeah, I think for us is you know, roster management first. You know, seeing guys that are going to be with us or maybe that hit the portal, and then really focusing on our transfer needs. We kind of have about 10 transfer needs that we still need. You know, outside of JJ, we got him going. That's a huge one. But we still got about 10 more positions we need to fill. We got visits starting this weekend. Got, I think, 5 guys coming up this weekend. Hopefully, we get all 5, and we're already halfway there. But that's transfer recruiting. It's staffing. You know, obviously, we're hiring some new staff members. I think we're getting pretty close to hiring an offensive coordinator here. We got 2 finalists that we'll talk with next week, and we still got to hire a couple other coaches. So kind of, recruit coaches, recruit transfers, and then we're really into the – I don't want to call it the off season because, 2026, in my opinion, has already started. We just call it the winter season. So when we get back in January, really start that winter season. That'll bring us to the spring season. That'll lead us right to the summer season. All of a sudden, we're back to the fall.
Yeah, it's just – there is no – I mean, you might get an afternoon off here or there, right?
You get a chance to take a breath here and there, but it is definitely something that's ongoing and ever-changing, but I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, every time that you want to be competitive, especially in the Big Sky, you've got to be working all the time, and that's what our staff is going to do.
I appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for giving the update. And when the transfer portal opens and guys start coming, we'll sit down and do this all over again.
That's exactly right.
The coaching changes that Coach Ford mentioned, our offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach Matt Linehan, running backs coach Lance Dunbar, and defensive line coach Tavita Finau. When the Vandals name a new OC, he will join us on a future podcast. Just a reminder, this Idaho Vandal Insider podcast is presented by Inland Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine Clinic of Moscow and Pullman. When he's not caring for the Vandals as team physician, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Matt Taylor provides the same MVP orthopedic care to our entire region. At Inland Orthopedics, our team is your team. Welcome back to the Idaho Vandal Insider Podcast. A special guest joining us, a man who has spent 40 years in some capacity involved in Idaho Vandal broadcasting, from play-by-play to general manager of the property. My good friend, who I've known since 1983. That's a long time. Tom Morris.
Long time.
And he's getting ready to retire here in about a month.
January 6th. You know, I'm just thinking, I've not been the athletic director here. Maybe that's something
I can do. You really want that job
now?
No,
I don't.
With NIL?
Terry's done a great job. No, Dennis, I appreciate it, brother. And, you know, I still think back on how quick it has been the last 40 years, and the first 10 out of college were the, you know, good old high school football play-by-play for local stations around the nation. I got five of them, and then ended up out to Missoula where I met you, and then 2 years later here in 85. And I've been extremely blessed. I am just – this is home.
The hope when you're a kid is to have a fun job. The hope
That's a good point.
When you're in high school is to have a job that you enjoy. The hope in college is, can I find one of those jobs? You did.
DePaul University, ends with a W, not an L. First day on campus, WGRE, radio, campus radio station. That's why I went there, four-year liberal arts school in Indiana. Walked up, hey, I'd like to do something. And they put me to work. So I started doing all the football games just out of the blue. And that's where I got the experience. And I said, this is what I've always wanted to do. I wonder if there are openings that actually pay you to do this. And I found one down in Middlesboro, Kentucky, a little town down in Appalachia, and the journey began.
Did you ever think, because I always ask this question of broadcasters who've been in as long as you and I have, did you ever think, I got to do something different? Was there ever that point where it was the fork in the road and you thought, I got to get off of this?
Nope. No.
Good for you.
N-O, no. I have always loved the microphone, talking like I'm doing now, and telling the story of what's on a field or on the court to people that, you know, aren't there, and creating that verbal picture of what you do. I don't know if I was born with it, but it was just, it's there. It was in me, and I took advantage of it. How's that?
Yeah. I have told people when I've talked to them, sometimes I didn't enjoy the moment as much as I should have. I should have something important, something big, something monumental happens, and you're the person who is telling the people about it, and you don't, you're so involved in what you do, you're just on to the next thing.
Well, don't forget now, from 85 through 2014, I was on the air, Bob Curtis, and then myself, basketball, football. After 14, I stepped away and became the general manager of the corporate sales end of things. So it's been a while since there. And I will tell you, during the playoffs, last 3 years, exciting games. And I got my gut. I'm sitting on the sideline waiting for the game ball presentation or whatever, and I'm looking up and I'm going, ah, wish I was at the mic. But the favorite one that I've got, you know, this one, Aiky going for two in the bowl.
Yeah.
Someone synced that with TV and me, and I said, well, I got called that right. That was good. But, you know, that type of emotion and being on the sideline since 15 and wanting to be in it again. But then I said, now, catch the charter, go for 3 days, chase coaches around the hotel, go and set up, get the charter, go home at 4 a.m. No, thank you.
There is a transition. There is a point where sometimes it becomes more of a pain than a pleasure.
It does, but you still have – you're doing what you love. And I don't – this is a cliche, but I don't feel like I've really worked. I get up most – every morning, either the corporate thing or the radio thing, and it was like, okay. Because there's something always going on. It's different. You know, someone told me, how do you do the football game? I said, well, you know what? It's a four-hour ad lib. You don't know what's going on, but you're there prepared, and you're telling what's going on. That's the thing that I guess it's a – how can I say it? Passion. There it is.
Yeah.
Passion. Passion, 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 and you don't understand it unless you do it.
When you stepped away to be the big boss, how hard was that for you?
Well, it came to a point where, and I'll tell you, the opening game of 2015,
yeah,
at USC, I believe we straight.
Correct.
And so I'd made the decision back after I signed off the last game. And I go out Saturday morning, away game, first time in years. I go on the back porch early September, have a cup of coffee. And I'm sitting there, my wife comes up, she goes, "Are you okay?" I go, "Yep." I knew exactly it was the right decision. Yeah, it was. I had it. I got it out of me. I put years into it, and then it was time to step away. You know, still do voiceovers and still do some public address stuff and all that, but it doesn't compare to being in the booth, live, action in front of you, and what are you going to do about it?
Do you have a favorite sport? One, because you did basketball and football for a long time. Do you have one that's favored, or maybe even not football or basketball?
Well, you know, the good old baseball game, and I haven't done one since 1981.
Wow.
Hastings College. We did all their games, American Legion games in Nebraska, and sitting out there, you know, here's the pitch, strike one. Wind out of the south. You know, it's just a nice thing, you know. But I would have to say, Dennis, basketball, being from Indiana and all that stuff, that kind of grew on me. Football, I came to really love and try to craft that by just being there. You know, we don't have a book on how to be a sportscaster. But I'd say, actually, baseball, I hate to say that, but baseball, if I ever had a chance, I'd love to do a game. Basketball second, because you're so close, there's action, and football is more of a big production. You got 100 yards to cover, 22 players out there, but it's still fun, but there's a lot more to it. So it's kind of going from the relaxing sport to the kind of relaxing to the not relaxing.
I've always said baseball is the hardest sport, I think, to do. I really do, because there's so much down. Well, you can go 2 minutes without either a ball, strike, or a foul ball.
Do you ever believe in preparation?
I do. Well, I don't. I'm not sure you can prepare enough for a baseball game of nine innings that goes 3.5 hours.
rain delay and all that stuff. Yeah, but and then, you know, first and second, one out, hit to the left fielder. Who's going to first? Who's coming into third? You know, Vin Scully was the master of that. He could follow anything and make it sound like, oh, that wasn't too hard.
Right.
It's hard.
You're right.
I think it's hard.
I think it's the hardest one. Do you have a favorite? I'm going to ask you both sports, because you did both football and basketball. Is there a favorite football game that you broadcast? And maybe not necessarily because of the result or how big a game it was. It was one of those you walked out of the booth and you either got in your car and drove home, or you got on the bus and went to the charter where you said, man, I killed it today.
Wow. Well, the Bowling Green game, to me, was one that had everything. I don't want to put that in a pigeonhole, but I think I will, because that had, you know, lead changes, long pass that was a touchdown. Enderly gets it at the 30, marches 70 yards in 38 seconds and throws to Preston Davis, I think.
Yep.
Max Komar dropped 5 passes. He catches the one that puts us within one. That had about everything. And that was in Boise. And so we were staying at the Grove. And I went back and met my wife back there. And there was about 15 boosters. And we ended up not sleeping that night. But it was just one of those things you feel good. Dennis, there's been 240 home games, and I'm trying to figure out.
Well, no, I know that. I know, that's not a fair question to ask.
No, it is. I just go back to the bowl because of Akey going for two.
Yeah.
We had a good team, good guys, and my office at that time was still in the Kibbe Dome, just out the outside. You had to come out of the locker room, and you faced my office. You had to turn left to go to the field. And those guys would always stop in, say hi. And I relayed some of that on the air. You know, Greenwood. Remember him?
Yeah.
Big tall guy. Yeah. Jolly Green Giant. And he'd come. Eric Greenwood. Yeah, his parents are going to be here. His cousin's never seen a football game. He was telling me last week that he's in and looking forward to having his cousin come in from California. Stuff like that is what makes it fun.
Yeah. What about basketball?
I'll tell you when it was. I can't say 88. It was the championship game, Big Sky Tournament in Boise, Idaho, Eastern Washington.
Yeah, I remember that game. I was there.
Washington had, Eastern Washington had David Peed and some of those guys.
Ron McMahon.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. The blonde hair bomber. We had Ricardo Boyd, Livingston, I think Fitch, those guys. And it came down to Ricardo Boyd's three-point shot at the buzzer.
Yep.
To put us in the NCAA tournament. And I remember that call because it had been a timeout. We inbound the ball, and he's on the far side from the press row. And, you know, Boyd gets it. It's up. It is good. It counts. It counts. It counts. The Vandals are going to the NCAA tournament. Yeah. But you don't – and some do. I know you don't. They put little line. Okay, what am I going to use?
Yeah.
No, I know.
Oh, no.
I know, and I'm not accusing that at all. You've got to have it, and if you don't have it, then get out of the business. I was just ready for, you know, or if Akey goes for two, you better make sure you know who that receiver is because you've got one chance.
Right.
And that was it. Boyd's shot to put us in the NCAA was probably one other one. Idaho at Gonzaga.
Orlando Lightfoot
gets 50 points. We lose by 85 to 78. Larry Eustace's the head coach. Bless his heart. And he comes during the postgame interview. I said, Coach, here you go. How you doing? Oh, Tom, we lost. I know. Don't ask about Orlando. He scored 50. I'm not talking about Orlando. We lost. But Lightfoot was one, I think, the guy that had the same shot style anywhere on the court. You know, he'd go 8, 9, 10, 15 feet behind the three-point line and still put that thing up. I don't think he had an assist in his life, but he still put it up.
That's crazy. I was at all three of those games you talked about.
Really? Well,
I was in Boise for that game, and I'm standing next to Chris Ball, who had worked with Rob Akey at Washington State as assistant coaches, and they, you know, they take the timeout. It's called, and I turn to Chris and I go, "There's no way he's going for two here," and he goes, "You don't know Akes," and sure enough, he came out and they went for two, and I was like, "Oh my!"
And when they had the timeout, and I forgot the kicker. Anyway, they bring him out, and I'm going, here comes the kicker. He's going back to the huddle. Look out. We're going for two. Yeah. And being a just thinking through other games, I just think Gonzaga, the Ricardo Boyd shot, Akey going for two, there's a million that we're leaving out. But those would be ones that I'm always glad that I'm there and God-given ability, blessed to be a part of that.
Yeah. I know that you haven't done the games, broadcast the games, but you've been at every home game, almost every home game since you stopped broadcasting because that's part of your gig.
Football?
The football home games.
Oh, yeah, we got to be on tap. We got to do that. Like, I've missed two out of 240. One, when my daughter got married, we hosted Eastern and won back 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And the other one was the last home game here. My wife had some health issues. I had to stay home, but by God, I had a great crew that didn't miss a beat. So, yeah, there have been two.
So, first home game Saturday next year, what are you going to do? You coming to the game or are you?
I'm going to try to go fishing, maybe listen to you somewhere.
Okay. Well, you got to make sure you better pre-plan that. You better drive to like your favorite spots and turn the radio on to make sure you can get us.
Or, you know, if I come to the game, I will be a fish out of water. I won't be working. I'll have no responsibilities whatsoever. And what I'll probably do is walk around, maybe get a field pass or something, or come up and sit there with you and
well, the booth is always open for you.
Behind you.
Yeah.
And, Dennis, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it because a year ago I told Learfield it's time, and they said give us a year to replace. And, man, it's like 40 days or whatever we're going to broadcast this. And I'm doing a lot of things at home to prepare. You got to prepare. And I don't want to get on a tangent here, but, you know, Medicare.
Yeah.
And all that stuff and get your affairs. And we're ready to go. We're ready to go.
Retire. I got great advice 40 years ago. Actually, a guy in Montana when I was working there. He said, whenever you're done, don't retire from something. Retire to something. And I know you've got passions. I know you're a big indie car fan.
I'm going to go back to the race in May and not have to worry about getting back on Tuesday for Memorial Day weekend. I may drive the thing. I told my wife, I said, let's drive. Let's take about a five-week trip. Well,
we can do that now.
Or it's a Saturday home game with the Vandals. Let's go to Post Falls, see the daughter, Liberty Lake, see the son. Stay overnight at the Davenport and come back on Tuesday. She's going, we can do that now, can't we? I said, maybe.
Do you think you'll miss it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll miss the, well, you know, the thing is, you miss the camaraderie of this athletic department. I mean, I've been through.
Oh, don't count.
Okay.
You've been through more athletic directors than you can count.
Yeah. And 11 football coaches, by the way.
Okay.
No, it's that it's and athletics has changed. Let's not get into that. But it's the people. You're going to miss that. And I may come in and talk to Pribble over here, and may go in and talk to Ford. I don't know, just to say hi. You'll miss it, but I won't miss the corporate part of it. The sales, the sales. I mean, I've done it. I've been there. I brought in some dollars, and you know, and I've done games. So I feel like my cup is full. Now let's just sit back, take a big, deep breath, and detox a little bit.
You spent 40 years here. Not a lot of broadcasters spend 40 years in one place, especially now. What does Moscow mean to you?
Moscow means, despite being from Indiana, home in Columbus, Indiana, Moscow, Idaho is home. Married here, met my wife, had our kids, house, the whole thing. And it's funny because the opportunities kept me here. A, from Missoula to here, hired by the old owners of the Z-Phone 106 KRPL, which had the rights at that time to the radio contract. Actually worked in Pullman when the Pullman station, good old Bill Weed and company, had the rights. Can you believe that? Then, at that time, Mike Bone called me and said, Tom, you've been on the street forever. Why don't you come to work for Idaho? I said, doing what? Well, selling corporate sponsorships. We had Polaroid pictures and, you know, hey, you want to sign? Okay, that's how you do it. I got hired by Idaho. Then Learfield brought them in, outsourced company. They said, you've been here. Why don't you be the general manager, still stay with football play-by-play, and let's make this thing work. Blood, sweat, and tears later, it was working, and I never looked anywhere. I don't know if my resume may be done in 1980. I don't, you know, it. But that's kept me here. Why? Because the people cared about what they were doing. I cared about what I was doing. And it's been a marriage that beyond belief, never wanted to look elsewhere. Okay, there was one time.
There's always one time.
There was one
friend.
Time I applied. I'd been here about 2 years. Cincinnati Bearcats.
Okay.
University of Cincinnati, you know, sent a tape in and all that. And, hey, good idea. I like what you're doing. We're going to go a different direction. Okay. My wife goes, what are you doing? Just let's enjoy what we're doing here. And then all of a sudden, the opportunities came. I call them unexpected blessings.
Yeah.
Idaho, worked at athletics from the radio station to Learfield. And the friendliest people in the world, and I don't mean to say that tritely. Golly, you meet people on the street and you just say hi and they say hi back and how are the Vandals doing? And believe me, I've had a few people who call you know this, Tom, yeah, we won that game at NAU last week. Yeah, I heard you. How come we went for it on third and long with 3:13 to go in the third quarter? I go, I'm not sure about that. I'll get back with you. Well, that's passion.
Right.
That's part of the job.
That's right. It's also part of the listener's job.
Or you don't give the score enough at halftime. Oh, that was a great one.
You know what? And my line has always been, you know what? When I retire, apply for the job and see how it goes for you. I got to know Bob Curtis from being around here for a long time.
Oh, boy.
You got to work with Bob Curtis. I got to work with Bob Robertson and some other guys. I mean, I've known some people that have done some great things.
We're fortunate.
Yeah. What was it like? This is the last question because people are going to want to know. What was it like to work with Bob?
He was the boss in the booth. You did not tell him what to do, period. I learned that kind of the hard way. First game at Oregon State, 1985. He's doing the game at long pass, and Mark Tidd intercepts it. Bob was looking somewhere else. I said, Tidd, interception. That's right, Mark Tidd, interception, and the Vandals have it. We'll be back after this. And he reamed me up and down. I wanted to quit, so we did that. But, Bob, here's the thing. You talk about passion and the guy that was good. That was how you got the games. No TV, no ESPN+, no Vandal Game Day app audio. It was the radio stations that you picked up. Working with Bob, again, he's the boss. But then towards the, I worked with him from 85 through 99. Now, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we roomed together on the road. We were friends. We told each other about our families. We got to know each other. And when he came ready to go, he was ready. He was ready. And that taught me a lot about preparation. But working with Bob... legend, let's just leave it there. And when I first got to him, I go, you know everybody. My God, he was a celebrity in the hotel before the games. I mean, the guy, and he soaked that up. But still following the game, doing well, all that stuff, and being the guy, I was a part of that. And towards the end, he let me do a lot more than I did at the very beginning. You know, halftime stats and color and the pregame show and the postgame show. He was there to do the play-by-play. And that, by the time he stepped down, that was it. And I took over. And I always told him, buddy, you've been one of my mentors, and I feel very fortunate to work with you. And we hugged and... About six months later, he passed away.
Yeah. Tom, congratulations on a hell of a career. I've known you for a long time. I've listened to you for a long time. I've enjoyed your work for a long time. You hired me not once, but twice to do this
job. Third time's a charm, buddy.
There won't be a third time, Tom, because this is the last job I'm ever going to have. So.
Well, you, I know you want to wrap it up here, but you've been a friend of mine, too, and you know that. And I cannot tell you what that means. It's a long-term thing, and that's what broadcasters kind of have a little group, and we're tied at the heart.
We knew each other in Missoula when neither one of us were very good. We were just learning the business.
Didn't know anything.
We had no gray hair between the two of us, not one single strand, and now, you know.
You know who did that? Larry Donovan did that to us.
No, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Let's just go. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. This Idaho Vandal Insider podcast is presented by Inland Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine Clinic of Bosco and Pullman. When he's not caring for the Vandals, his team physician, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Matt Taylor provides the same MVP orthopedic care to our entire region. At Inland Orthopedics, our team is your team. Just two guests this week, but there was a lot of information from Coach Ford, and it was fun to dig in the past with Tom. On a side note, Tom Morris has hired me twice to be the voice of the Idaho Vandal football team. First time in 2015 when he stepped aside, and then again in 2024 when Chris King left to take the Washington State Cougar broadcasting job. That's when I received both football
and basketball. Tom is a talented broadcaster, no doubt, but where he rates even higher is a human being. There's no one more caring, nicer, and better in our business than Tom. We'll miss him, but he's going to enjoy time with his family and do what we all want to do, enjoy retirement. That's going to do it for this week's Idaho Vandal Insider Podcast. Just a reminder, two more coaches show left in the month of December, Tuesday the 16th, and then the final show for 2025 will be Tuesday, December 30th. As always, live from 42 Bar Kitchen in Moscow. Don't forget our new time as well, 6 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Mountain Time on the Idaho Vandals Radio Network. With the holidays approaching and finals week for the students, we're going to give a two-week break to the podcast, barring any breaking news. The Idaho Vandal Insider Podcast will return on New Year's Eve. We'll visit with both men's and women's basketball teams, coaches, and players to break down the Big Sky Conference. I'm Dennis Patchen saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for another edition of the Idaho Vandal Insider Podcast.
This has been the Vandal Insider Podcast, presented by Inland Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine Clinic of Moscow and Pullman. Let the team that takes care of the Vandals take care of you. Get the latest information on University of Idaho athletics you won't find anywhere else with the Vandal Insider Podcast. From in-depth conversations to game previews, the Vandal Insider is every fan's source for all things Idaho athletics.